Righto, trendsetters, rug up with us this winter. Next merch drop coming in hot.
14th of May, Tuesday, 6 p.m. at alphablokes.com.au. We've got our two hoodie designs. These designs won't be coming back. We've got a light colour. We've got a dark colour. These things are unreal. We can't wait for you to start wearing them around the flats and rugging up next to the fire. 6 p.m. Tuesday, 14th of May. Don't miss out. Call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, but our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the code ALPHABLOKES for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town.
Every man knows how scary it can get when you're going for the close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower Pro 3.0 Plus and the 4.0 Pro and the 5.0 Ultra.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
Righto, welcome back to another episode of the Alpha Blokes podcast.
Here to give the everyday battler a voice, delete head noise one laugh at a time. Let's delete a fucking better beer, nice and cold out of the new camp fridges, mate.
Yes.
Going nice and...
actually is set pretty low.
It is set pretty low. It was supposed to be, your beer fridge, set low. Jogging a can, win a 10, the athlete's choice. Look, first of all today, we just want to give a shout out to Moe's Desert Clubhouse for letting us use this deadly studio. I feel like fucking Joe Rogan in here.
It is prime. He's done very well. And the venue's sick as well.
That's right. And it's available to hire for you legends who live on the Gold Coast. So give them a message if you're keen. It's got all the bells and whistles at mosdesertclubhouse.com. Thanks very much, legends, for letting us use it. Today's guest, four-wheel drive enthusiast and everyday battler, Jesse Gleeson. How are you, mate?
Good. How are you, boys? Big down the road?
I love it, mate. Rocking up in steel cap boots. You know you're an everyday battler.
Yeah, that's it.
Haven't lost touch with the common man, mate.
No, definitely not.
No, good shit. We just thought it was pretty relevant to get someone like yourself on, mate. Actually bumped into you. You're wearing a bit of merch in one of your videos.
Yeah,
you got tagged a few times. Yeah, which is cool to see. But yeah, we just picked up the full drives in Newcastle, man, and got the trays and canopies done by LMT Alloy Tech, who nailed it. And just thought it'd be cool to have a chat to you today about the four-wheel drive scene, bit of camp and stuff, bit of adventuring, and someone like yourself's done a heap of it.
Yeah, I did see the utes out the front as they're old, and they're very flash and shiny.
Yeah, mate.
You have to be happy with them.
Mate, we pretty much haven't got the chance to take them off-road once yet. Like, we had them at home for a couple of weeks, and then everything moved pretty fast, Cam, eh, with getting the builds done.
Yeah, definitely. And appreciate the connections for the winches as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, Tommy messaged me, and then I heard, listened to your voice talk. Oh, we need a winch. We need this. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'll get your number and send you a text. So
they're not working out well.
That worked out.
Besides Nissan, but with the you need to get the Series 5 brackets to make that bar winch compatible.
Oh, sure. So that was a stitch up in the end.
On
Nissan's bar. I thought being a Nissan Warrior, they're doing the upgrades.
Yeah, you think it'll come ready to go.
With the other
little gripe, like I'm a big fan of the car. It's going to be great. But other big gripe was just didn't come with a jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard Warriors. You talk about that. Yeah.
And I'm going, okay. Imagine figuring that out when you had a fuck tyre.
Yeah.
Exactly. We still haven't got jacks.
Yeah. But so we'll have to sort that out. But yeah, we're fucking excited, mate, you know, to be able to just go. I think it's crazy to see what they can fit in a car now.
Yeah.
And just being able to decide on like a Friday arvo, fuck it, I might go out and camp the night, having the rooftop tent and having the fridge and the cooker and stuff like that. It's pretty...
Don't have to pack anymore. Everything's in there. Chuck some food and beers in and good to go.
It's pretty cool, mate.
Yeah.
And I suppose someone like yourself, you would have grown up. Did you grow up camping and outdoors and driving around the bush and that, mate?
Yeah, I was born in Victoria. I grew up there till I was like five or so, I think. We lived on a dairy farm with me old man's parents. So
yeah.
I was always there just running amok, you know.
Yeah.
Out on the four-wheeler and stuff. So, yeah, that was pretty good. And then, my old man, he used to be into like streetcars, old Falcons and stuff, and all the wooden bridges, you know, he'd go and skid them up and stuff.
Yeah,
good. And then, his stepdad actually got him into 4Bs. He used to do mud racing in an old Hilux. And my old man bought an FJ45 Shorty, and that was like his first 4B.
Yep.
And, we used to go high country and that, and the local four-wheel drive club did like an event called Boho Bounce and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since I was little, it's all we've been doing. So,
Racing is one of the wildest events you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah.
Just nitrous on like sheet metal.
So, what's that? Is
with
that
like tractor
tires? Run it through for me, because I've got to say to you, mate, I'm not a big one in the scene and I'm fucking interested in hearing a fair bit about it today.
Well, I'm not big on mud racing myself. He was just racing production class, so like a Hilux with some tractor tires bolted on it.
Oh yeah.
But you were saying, some of the bigger trucks, they're nitrous, big, like some of them are twin engine V8 things and sheet metal, like they look like something out of Mad Max.
It's literally Mad Max and just mud slinging blokes in overalls.
Mm. Yeah. And people just on the hill drinking piss.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
It was the most entertaining thing you've ever seen.
Mm, pretty much,
I don't know how much they do it. I think outside of Gracemere, up our way, is probably the only place that they do it. But they don't advertise that often.
I think because my young fellow man loves monster trucks, right? So he always wants me to look up monster truck stuff.
Yeah.
Anything to do with monster trucks. And I was there with him one day. Might have been that mud thing, because there was a heap of Americans in these monster truck looking fucking things trying to swim them through just a big
the
mud.
Americans are all over.
Americans are on another level. Yeah.
Dude, it's insane, some of the shit that they build just cause.
Yeah. And the stuff they can drive on the road over there too. Like in Australia, you drive that on the road, you go to jail. But in America, it's free for all.
Would that be a big difference as to what, like, why we're trying to compact as much as we can into cars that are still on the road? Because obviously we have to drive a fair way to take them off-road. Where over there, they can take anything that's crazy.
Yeah, and work went over to America last year, and, like, they're camping. Well, they call it overlanding over there. Like, with all your stuff in your car, like, it's only a new thing. They'd tow their big race car out or drive it on the road, go wheeling for the day, and they'd go stay in a cabin or go home, because you said everything's so close.
Yeah,
and also you got like bears and all that sort of stuff to contend with over there.
Yeah.
But the overlanding or camping scene over there is only new, like last couple of years they reckon it's sort of rolling in type thing.
Yeah, so, right. So different. You reckon Australia and sort of where a lot of the people here are at, is it sort of on the top of its game sort of thing compared to other countries?
Yeah, definitely. Compared to other countries, probably one of the biggest. Like, from what I can tell,
yeah.
It's like when Patrick Campers probably got in over there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're dead right. Some of those YouTube channels, they're only probably few years old, like overlanding and doing
exactly,
all that setup.
Yeah, America's either like loose mud racing stuff or just like big, hard rock crawl and wheeling type thing. So.
It's a pretty good call with the animal situation though, right? Like, because over here, a swag gets anything that can kill you away.
Yeah.
But it's dealing with grizzly bears and shit like that. The rooftop tent would be all right,
I think you'd be right on that, yeah. The boys from work went last year and, like, a couple of them were packing it. Like, some bears and stuff came through camp and
true.
They reckon there's, like, just... They had some locals with them and told them what to do. And obviously all the locals over there got guns on them and stuff. But they said there's some do's and same as going to Fraser with the dingoes, basically.
Yeah.
If you don't do some things, you have bears in your camp. But if you're smart about it,
Being like croc smart and shit like that, I suppose, when you go up north here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Similar sort
like
of thing.
Like for like type thing, I reckon.
Yeah. How'd they find it, mate, compared to the tracks here?
They reckon the tracks were like wild type thing. So when we film, probably like something that would take me and my mates like, you know, if we did a track in an hour, when you do it for work, it might take you up to four, depending on how many cars you got. But you got even in the middle of a challenge or a hill, you've got to stop and they've got to reset the cameras and stuff type thing.
Yeah.
So they reckon over there, it was pretty much like the same. What we would do over here would be the same as you're wheeling with your mates.
Yeah.
And then over there it would take even longer because it was just heaps harder.
Yeah.
Type thing. And they said they went real high as well, and they had to like adjust to the Alpine air. I'm not real familiar with that stuff.
Yeah,
but
right.
They said one of the boys went way too hard the first day, and he was just shitting himself, and he had a mad headache and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So, a bit too.
If
adjust
you go too fast up through that oxygen level, it's probably a bit like Pity was saying with the Everest
altitude
thing,
sickness stuff.
Yeah,
that's pretty wild, eh? Mm. Anything else that was majorly different? Like, as in far as the tracks compared to here, what was so much harder or different over there? They say
I think the cars over there, like we said, like we touched on just before, over there you can drive something a lot more wild on the road. So the tracks are to suit type thing.
Yeah.
Whereas over here, like, I think the biggest tyres they had were 35s.
Yeah.
Some of my cars are on 37. So 37 is probably the biggest tyre someone's going to be in a road car around here.
Yeah.
And they're on 35s, and the cars they were wheeling with had like 40-inch plus tyres.
Yeah,
so
right.
So the tracks and holes are to suit that.
Yeah. So the ruts, yeah, you're going to struggle trying to get through with 35s exactly. when they're 40
yeah.
A couple of our cars, 3 or 4 years, would fucking disappear in a couple of the holes.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And they reckon they went to, I think it was Moab, and they said some of the rocks there, like the grip on them was just, like you couldn't explain it.
Yeah, right.
There is some places in Australia that's got grippy rock, but yeah, they said you'd look at them like we can't do that, and they'd sort of just idle up there. So
yeah,
that's a scary thing getting used to, because that's how you can go back on yourself.
Exactly.
Not used to that grippy rock.
Well, one of the boys nearly did that. Apparently, he sort of got a bit cocky, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll be able to go up there," and the whole front wheel stood up type thing. So
yeah, mate, I was watching a little clip of you earlier today, sort of thing, doing a little bit of recon sort of thing before I come in here.
Bit of a sunset.
And, mate, started on a mower. Am I right?
Yeah, started a lawnmower, yeah.
Fuck
so,
right.
when obviously I was on the quad a little bit when we were down to Victoria, but I wasn't really old enough to drive by myself. I tried a couple of times, but got in a bit of strife. So, I think mum and dad were like, we did okay when we moved up here, but like, I think they were battling back in the day. So my old man, he just makes everything, you know. They rented the house and we didn't get one tradie over. Dad just did the whole lot. Retrussed the roof, resheeted the roof, sheeted the plaster. And so
that's impressive.
All I wanted to do was go Forbion, and we couldn't go Forbion all the time because it was expensive and whatnot. So that's when you used to have a tip shop when you could do cool things. So my old man come home from the tip shop with a lawnmower once, and I'm like, what is this? So we ripped the cutting deck off it, and I just ran it bog stock for a while.
Yeah.
And then I dinged it up and broke a few things. So we pulled it. We had out the back of my parents' joint, that's probably like an easement 50 metres wide by about 100 metres long.
Yeah.
And I was just pushing tracks in out there. And I used to always get stuck, and Dad used to come up from the shed and push me out, and he sort of got the shits with it. So we took it down the shed, and we put a mid-mount boat winch in it, because Dad was working for like a Crane and Davitt place at the time. So just a hand winch, but we mounted it in where the battery would normally go, because I only had like a little 4-horsepower motor, so it was pull start.
Yeah.
Threw it to a tube at the front, so then didn't have to go and get me old man anymore.
Fucking look out.
He had like an industrial sewing machine, sewed me up a tree trunk protector out of like a ratchet jack and whatnot, and we cut the bonnet and painted it yellow and blue and stuff like that. And the yellow will come back into another story later on.
Yeah.
But I'd just be out the back for hours. And then my sister was like right into a graphic design and whatnot, and I'd watch Outback Challenge and all the events Dad would go to, and we'd find the logo on the internet, print it out, and I'd stick it on the mail with a bit of contact. And that was in my head, going to race Outback this weekend, boys, and tell the boys at school and whatnot.
Yeah, so, that's awesome, eh? You don't really hear stories like that very often now, hey? Like, that's proper old school for go and find some fun shit to do.
Yeah, pretty much, from the tip shop. Just went out the back, yeah.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Like, if Dad went away for the weekend sometimes, it'd be real wet, and, you know, it was cancelled, and we weren't supposed to be out there.
Yeah.
And Dad would say to Mum, don't let him out the back, you know, it's too wet, we'll get in strife. And then I'd be, can I go? And sometimes she'd be like, all right. And one time she let me out the back. She obviously didn't think it would rain that much, and Dad got home, and I had a track just ruts the whole way around. And we had some, there were some old power poles out the back that council must have dumped. And I was like launching over them and winching them because they were getting wet. And Dad got home and I was in so much trouble.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all got a similar story.
Yeah. I had to go and fill in all the ruts when they dried out. He was spewing.
Yeah. Do you reckon it was a good thing for you practicing on something like that, that you couldn't go too fast and you probably might have figured out the way it's like, you know, driving over shit?
Yeah, I reckon it definitely started there. And then me first car, because obviously, like, my old man, like, going back to the Aussie Battler thing, like, my old man's a mad fabby. Like, and he used to build everyone's race cars and navvied for a couple of blokes.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Back in the younger days, I was thinking, why is Dad never racing? But I think it just come back to the whole money thing type thing. So he'd just do heaps of fab work and help his mates out, and he'd navvy for a few of them.
Yeah.
And he always navvied for patrol. He used to navvy for a Hilux as well, but it was always broken. So I was like, I want a patrol. And it come to first car time, the old man's like, you're not getting a patrol. We've got to get you something like a bit smaller so you learn how to steer type thing.
Yeah,
like sort of the next step from the mower. So my old man come home one day with this Vitara, Suzuki Vitara.
Yep.
And it was a rust bucket. And I was pretty off it. I was like, what is this? Like, you could have at least got me Sierra with like a solid front. Like, it was independent in the front and everything. Anyway, so then we started doing that up, and the chassis ended up being fingered, like it had been bogged up and stuff. So we had to get a new chassis. We sort of cut and shut it and made one good one out of the two. And that was pretty cool, like, because it always sort of helped Dad do a few bits and pieces, like when he was doing the sliders and stuff in people's cars, I'd get to help put them on or like put the rivets in the checker plate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't really do too much. So, yeah, I helped me old man like do a full chassis up rebuild on the Spitara.
Yeah, nice.
And I was just secretly off it the whole time. I was like, yeah. I want a patrol. And he's like, nah, you can't have one. You got to work your way up to it. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, and then he's like, he come to painting it. And he's like, what color do you want it? And I said, red. Well, you're not having red. Red's a shit color. It oxidizes. I'm like, nah, I want it red. He's like, nah, you're not getting red. And so I helped him do all the prep work and helped him do a bit of undercoat and stuff. And then I come home from school one day, and I think it was a Friday, and Dad normally finished early on a Friday. And he's like, yeah, we'll paint it on the weekend. We'll go to the shop. You can get red if you want. Yeah, sweet. I come home, and my old man's painted this thing bright yellow, exact same as my lawnmower.
Oh, true.
Because I think he got that paint from his work because it was like the safety bollard color or something.
Yeah. Cat yellow.
Yeah. It wasn't even cat yellow. It was brighter. It stood out like dog's balls.
Yeah. True.
And and everything else on it was black. Like it actually looked
Bumblebee.
Pretty. Yeah, Bumblebee, pretty much.
You know.
It looked pretty sick in the end. Like it grew on me, but I was off him to start with. Like, Vitara, now it's bright yellow. Like everyone's going to know me.
How old were you, mate, at this stage when you were doing this with the old boy?
I think we got it when I was 16, so we did it up so I had it for me L's type thing.
That's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
That project with your old man, huh?
Yeah. Like and like I said, I'd done oil changes on my lawnmower and stuff, but I was like that keen. We painted it and did all the mechanical stuff.
Yeah.
And before my old man had a hoist, we just had he had a pit out the back of the shed with just some excavator ramps type thing you drive out. And he's like, yeah, you can change the oil, got me all the stuff. And I was just that keen. I just did the filter, put the bung back in. I just poured two full bottles of oil in. I'm like, fuck, pull the dipstick. What else to go? And my old man's like, you're an idiot. I'm like, what? And he's like, mate, you got to keep checking on the dipstick. Or you couldn't look it up on your phone then,
days,
look it up in the Haynes manual or something. And I was like, oh, what do I got to do now? He's like, well, you got to pull the plug out and drain it. So he probably could have told me an easy way to do it. But yeah, I had oil over me. Anyway, so I was learning as I was going.
I think I'd rather do that than putting it down the dipstick or something.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, then the first week, it might have been actually, it was closer to when I got my P's. So I think I learned in my old man's, he had a 60 series he chopped into a ute.
Yep.
And I learned to drive in that for a little bit. And then it was towards the end of my L's. And because the first weekend I got my license. So when I went to get my L's actually, all I wanted to do was drive. Like I was sort of into my downhill mountain biking because I could go out in the bush and type thing and make some jumps and dig. And then I was like that keen. I'm like, nah, I would just want to drive. Went to get me owls and I couldn't get them. Went on my birthday, couldn't get them because I didn't have a birth. I had an extract of birth, not a full birth certificate.
Yeah,
didn't have a passport or nothing. So then we had to order that. I was a month late getting me owls and I was off it to mum and dad. I was like, it's going to be a month, I can't drive. So then when I went to get me peas, I was a month late and I was spewing. But the weekend, I think I got me peas on a Friday and mum and dad had something on that weekend. They went away. So that Friday night, we went Forbian every day that weekend.
Oh, yeah, what a
man. The paint was still relatively fresh, and my old man got home, and I didn't think it was that bad, but it was scratched to buggery.
Yeah.
He was pretty off it for a while. But
he would have got used to it, though, after a while.
He did get used to it, yeah.
It's not going to be shiny, Dad.
Exactly, yeah. I was that keen, back in the day, because I went to, in year 11 and 12, I went to trade college, and it was down here, down Reedy Creek, actually.
Yeah.
And a place we used to go four-wheel drive, and it's mainly Haslingstate now, but we worked out we could go through there on the way back. And way home, on the Mudjabar side, the security used to chase us, and there'd be a big mud hole at the bottom, and then at the top, like the real tight rocks. So he'd see you, and he'd be racing across from the hut. If you could get through the mud hole, you were sweet, and sometimes he'd get stuck there or he couldn't go through the rock.
Oh, yeah. So was he in a little Yaris or something?
He started in it like a Yaris or like a little Swift, I think it was.
Chubb Security.
That's always something like that. The old Trev Security at home. And there's this big, like Mr. Incredible getting out of a fucking monkey car.
Yeah, exactly. Massive dude in a small car. Then they got him a Jimny. I don't think he knew how to put in full drive because he used to get that stuck in the mud more than the Echo or what Swift or whatever it was.
So it was like getting past him sort of.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So that was a good laugh. Yeah, we were just loving it whenever we could. And and then two of me other mates ended up getting Vitara. So it was a bit of a thing.
Oh, right.
But then obviously started me, because I was at trade college, started my apprenticeship, so I had a bit of money coming in and sold off the mountain bikes type thing. And started just modifying these things, bigger wheels, lockers, reduction gears.
So seeing sort of how good you could make them sort of thing.
Yeah, you sort of reach the limit and be like, hey, I want to go up there, how do I do that? So I bought lockers and reduction gears and stuff like that. And then bigger tires, and then it just started breaking more and more. And that's sort of where I started learning. I think
that's short wheelbase, they were very capable of vehicles.
Yeah, for what they were, even being IFS, if you drove them right, it's really surprising when you could get them. We used to go out with, the old man was in the local four-wheel drive club, And I went out there sometimes and old boys are like, oh, you know, you're not going to get that up here. Jump in with us. And I was like, oh, I'll give it a go. And like a lot of the time you can sort of zigzag around all the big car holes and stuff. So,
yep.
But yeah, like, you know, I went on a bit of a tangent, but going back to what you said, I reckon my old man was right. Like starting in something like that definitely helped because some of my mates started in 80 series or like 79s or 75s back in the day and stuff, a bigger car with mods, and they can't drive for shit. Like they got a good car, but
yeah, to sort of figure it out the hard way and a few different different ways to get through a bit of adversity.
You haven't got the power there, so you got to learn.
Yeah, picking a line and all that sort of stuff. So
definitely. What did it look like when you got it to its final stage and when you went, I can't even do anything else to this?
It was pretty tough in the end. I had it already had like flares on it, so it was about 50 mil wide, and then I got these cut and flip rims. So we cut the center out of the rim and flipped them around, so you get more offset. But then also the sort of, I don't know how to explain it, the lip on the rim is longer on the inside.
Yeah.
So it was just to pop tires off the rim, but now you got that longer one on the outside, it would stay on and it would sort of reseat.
Yeah.
So it was like, I think it was only
Redneck's beadlock.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We welded some like ring savers on there so it looked like it had beadlocks, put little bolts in. It was pretty wanky, but I was like, oh, I've got to do it.
I remember those days they'd do that flat plate and do the cutouts and weld them in.
Yeah, it was pretty much like that. And
the Sunraiser rim.
Yeah. It was it flipped sunny, yeah. And they were the rim was black and the ring was painted yellow. But I think it was only like, it was nearly 250 mil off being a square. Like it was that wide at this point. I think it had like nearly 300 mil of flares on it. Yeah, with the reduction gears and lockers, it was on 33-inch tires in the end, which is big for a Suzuki.
Yeah,
and pretty much every time I went out, I was breaking something. And by this stage, like I'd been saving up on the side, and I said to my old man, like, and we're doing little competitions. You can't really run them anymore because I think insurance and whatnot. But it was called Rocket Competition, just out at one of the local four-wheel drive parks. And you sort of got to drive through witches hats and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to do a winch challenge, but what I ended up doing in the end, but I couldn't do that in the Vitara. So I did these comps. And even then, I started an IFS class, then went to standard, went to locked. And sometimes the Vitara was good, like dodging the cones. But then sometimes if you went after the patrols and stuff, you just couldn't get through their holes.
Yeah.
So then, then I was saving up. Me and my old man went and looked at, sort of made the decision. I talked to my old man. I was like, have I done me time, you know?
Yeah, like your apprenticeship.
Yeah, he's like pretty much like, yeah, I reckon. And then he was trying to talk me because he could see how that car got modified and disintegrated pretty quickly. He's like, maybe if you get a patrol, like get that for camping and then we'll build this Suzuki into like a comp truck or something. I'm like, that's a good idea, I guess. We'll see how we go. Went and looked at patrols heaps and I couldn't really find a good one. Went and found one out at Jim Boom, but it was chopped into an extra cab ute and it was black and it was a shit box. Like it was rusty. It was bog hanging out of it. And I brought it home.
Deja vu.
Yeah, pretty much same thing, just not quite as bad. And I was like, brought it home, and I don't think I realised how bad it was. I was just frothing it. We got it home, and the old man was trying to talk me out. I was like, no, that's the one, we're getting it. And when I got home, I was like, oh, okay. I had all these plans I wanted to do. I'm like, oh, the money is going to run out real quick.
Yeah.
So
was it a black top?
Silver top. Yeah, silver, so it was PD42, silver top. Good one, yeah. Had like it had an AIT turbo set up on it from factory. I think that was like the factory option if you wanted it turboed. So,
because wasn't the ute, the utes were the black tops, but the wagons had the silver tops. Oh, and what did the shorties have?
So in the, so from 88 to about 92 was all the diesels were silver top.
Yeah.
And then they went to the black top NA, and that's, like,
oh, that's right. That's in some of the utes.
Yeah, some of the utes, some of the wagons.
They did them in the wagons as well.
Did them in the wagons. Yeah. And they were the worst because they lightened a few things up, and if you turbo them, they weren't real happy. Like the silver top was like the OG if you wanted to turbo it and run a heap of boost. Yeah. And then obviously they went factory turbo motors in the GUs, which are strong as, heaps better and stuff.
Yeah, so sweet.
Yeah, but had a TD, and we were going somewhere, and brought my mate down to the shed to show him, and he walked in the shed. He's like, what the fuck did you buy this rod box for? And then it sort of sucked. Everyone's called it the rod box, but man, a shit box type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And same thing, yeah. Like you said, deja vu. We mainly just painted it. We ended up painting it white.
Yeah.
And sort of everything else was it. Had a front locker and a bit of a lift and stuff. And then same thing, just started driving it and sort of slowly progressed its way up. And what was next for that car? Yeah, so actually we went and like, I was went and go and started watching the winch challenge and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I really, really want to do this. But I was like,
back from the mower days, or is this a thing that stuck with you?
It just stuck with me, yeah. And I'd always wanted to go watch. And I don't know why, it was just in my head. I was like, I never actually took me Vitara up to watch him. I was like, it's too fat, little car, I can't do it. But like we used to go down Coffs Harbour and stuff in him, so I don't know how why we couldn't go to winch challenge. But when I started watching some, and some of Dad's old mates are still racing and stuff. And I was like, I want to do it. And the same thing, it was in my head. I'm like, oh, you can't do it. And then I forget, something happened. And I thought, oh, stuff it, I'm going to do it. And I said to my old man, I'm like, you reckon we can like put a cage in this thing before this date? Yeah. Well, what's your plan? I told him. He's like, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
So, yes, like that's Jesse logic again. I was like, oh, I'll put a cage in, I'll go racing. And then I started like reading more. I was still pretty new, reading more. I'm like, oh, I need 24 volt on the winch, need a free spool, and probably need bigger tires, all this sort of stuff. So
adding up,
yeah. We went hard for probably 2 months. I had this date to go racing, and typical me too, my missus will be all over this. I'm always running late. So it was race day. We're still finishing stuff, running around trying to find first aid stickers to stick on the toolboxes and whatnot. And it was up at Land Cruiser Park, probably like a 3.5 hour drive from home. And if you don't get through Brizzy before 12 on a Friday, like you're hitting traffic. So we hit traffic. And I was driving it up. Obviously, they're all the race cars. They're getting trailed up and stuff. I was driving up. They made a little box trailer with all my spares and a few bits and pieces. And I rolled in real late. And all the like race cars are lined up on the road into camp. And I pulled up to the supervisor dude, the Sterler, the bloke running it. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? I said, I'm here to race, mate. Like, what do you want me to do? And he's like, looking at me, car and trailer. He's like, well, you're here to race. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, who are you? I'm like, oh, Rodbox Racing, because the name stuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. He's like, well, you better get to camp, dump that trailer off and come back here. Like, stage is starting in 15. I'm like, shit, righto. And so I dumped the trailer, putting window nets on, and had to run the winch rope on and stuff. And we go over there, and then you could see everyone sort of like just, you know, sort of
looking down on you a bit.
Whispering to them, mate, look at this bloke. Is that you? This just drove in. Like, is he going to race? Type thing. And I was like, oh, we were fully on the outer. Didn't really know too many people. I had like a good crew of mates with me there and stuff. And sort of like hadn't had a chance to, I'd done heaps of 12 volt winching, haven't had a chance to do any on the 24.
Yeah.
And I think I did like one winch. And then first stage, like made me look even worse. The second winch heel, there's just big undercut. And I just stayed on the button, like exploded the brake shaft and the winch in the main gear.
Oh.
Big amphitheater at Land Cruiser Park too. So heaps of people watching. New bloke. And I was like, oh, no, what's going on here? So,
people love seeing shit break, so they'll probably pump.
Oh, they were cheering, yeah, but I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to look like an idiot, yeah. And the car in front of us, like, rolled on its roof too, and I was like, oh, well, I can't do that. Yeah. So I think I was just a bit nervous thinking about getting up this hill.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And so we raced back to camp, and I had me mate's winch there as a spare, put the different winch on, and one of me dad's mates was Marshall, and he came and see me before the next thing, and he gave me a bit of a pep talk, because Dad was spewing. I think Mum was getting an operation that weekend, and he was like real dirty that he couldn't come, but he knew that he had to stay with Mum.
Yeah,
so he got me old boss, who actually ended up being our neighbour at the time, Jono. He's like, he worded up Jono to go up with like all the boys in the plumbing company he used to work for. He's like, I think he wanted Jono there as my father figure. So
yeah,
I think
yeah.
So that was pretty sick. He was up there and all the boys, and I think it was Pete Sternbeck, one of Dad's mates, come and gave me like a bit of a pep talk, and he's like, and then after that we're on fire, like we had some good stages.
Yeah,
and
nice.
Then I think by sort of mid Saturday, like we coming back to the no power, I think there was a couple of hills we drove and only a few cars drove, because also I think I knew that car very well because I drive it every weekend.
Yeah.
Some of these blokes in their race cars didn't like drive them 3 times a year, so there was some pretty gnarly angles into it, and it felt good, and we drive them because we didn't have the wheel spin.
Yeah.
And I think at this point in time people were like, oh, these boys are all right, and then more people started getting friendly with
started
it and
talking
stuff.
To you a bit.
Yeah, started talking to us a bit, like,
and it's a lot better if you're driving them too, because I've been to a few of them, and sometimes it's the most boring thing ever when they get down, they don't even try. Get up, and it's just old mates back out.
Because for someone who might be oblivious, like I haven't seen a whole lot of it, and some people might not even have heard it before that are listening. So just to give them a rundown of the idea behind this whole thing.
Yeah.
Is it like a certain amount of hills that are meant for like to be real challenging to drive up? So a lot of the times you've got to use your winch to get there,
pretty
and it's
much,
all time. Is that it?
Yeah. So there's like short course winch challenge or long course. It's a short course. It's just most of the time it's a fully bunted track, or there can be like strip bunting between an obstacle. And yeah, like you said, the obstacles are made. Sometimes they can be compulsory winches or like compulsory use of a ground anchor. But most of the time they're just that road that you probably can't drive them, or if you like got a screw loose, you can probably drive them.
Yeah.
Type thing. So, and just get through as quick as you can.
Is there any stick in your mind that you've been like, fuck it, I'm going to try and drive it, and you got it done? Like when people shouldn't normally?
That'd be plenty, a pretty good feeling. Definitely, yeah. And as you said, Cam, like it gets boring sometimes. But some of the big boys like racing for serious points.
You got all the power there. You've got all the money.
Yeah.
And you're still just...
But they'll get to the bottom of the hill and just hook up a winch because they're like, we probably could drive, but if we hit a peg, that's 30 points. That's going to cost us. That's like, I was guilty for that a little bit later on.
That's true. Like, they're trying to win it, but they're not spectator friendly.
Oh, so is that like a peg? Are you saying like the thing that's outlining it?
Yeah.
That's points off and stuff like that.
And sometimes Sterlo was a real prick for it. He'd have a green peg, so he'd wrap it in green bunting. And that was like it was a barber's pole, and I think it was like 150 or 200 points, so you couldn't hit him. And they're always in rude spots too.
Yeah.
So he still does them. Like, I navied for me, mate, last year, and we hit one. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, so then, and also, like, we were driving this thinking, because none of my mates really had good winches, so we just go out to go driving. And I didn't really have the idea in my head, we're going to winch this to save points or time or whatever, and... we were just driving stuff, knocking over pegs, having a good time.
Yeah.
And then sort of as the weekend progressed on and people were saying like, oh, you probably could have pulled up and winched that and saved your points here. But it was a sick learning curve. Like, we broke stuff on the first stage, but the car went sick after that.
Yep.
And made heaps of good friends type thing.
Yeah, that's so awesome, mate.
I think we got like 14th or something. But it was out of like, back in the day, it was like 28, 25 cars. So it wasn't too bad for our first crack with the DNF at the start.
And how many of them... drove there.
We were the only ones.
Only one. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was cool. And it drove it home. So that was
that's good.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
What year was that? What are you talking?
That would have been... I was 20. So 20... Oh, now I'm trying to remember.
Was it through that 2013 period?
Yeah, it would have been...
What are you now?
I'm a 94 model, same as you.
94, yeah.
I'm a mental blank.
So I reckon, 2012, 14.
Yeah, I think it was like 13, 14, 15 type thing.
Yeah. Very popular then.
Yeah, I think the sport was thriving. I started when I was sort of 19 type thing doing the racing.
So. And so if you're doing that again nowadays, mate, do you still have the car that you'll drive there, or are you like, righto, now you got the filth at your toe?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So then I raced that car solid for like probably 4 years, and it was getting real tired towards the end.
Yeah.
And I had a few good weekends. Like, we sort of won a few. We never won a weekend, but we won a few stages and whatnot. Like, if we had a consecutive good run, I think we might have podiumed, but I was still single motor winch, not much power. I was on radial tires too.
What high mount were you running then?
Just a modified Warn high mount. Yeah. So I had like a 6 horsepower motor, single motor, air free spool. I didn't even have it, like, because everyone upgrades a brake shaft and my old man just makes shit. So we just tapped and capped a standard one and just 24 volt, just two batteries type thing.
Yeah.
So I raced that car for a while and it was early GQ. So it was 88 model and those chassis sort of fall apart. So we'd patched it as much as we possibly could. And then I thought, maybe I should build a new car type thing. So I ended up selling that car and just bought like a GQ Wagoner driver in the meantime. And my old man said, we'll start from scratch. Like, buy that wagon, we'll build a race car out of that. And this other bloke had this half-built race car. Same thing, Jesse Lodge. I'm like, this would be sick, I want it. And I just had it in my head, I wanted it, so I bought it.
Yeah.
And that was probably a mistake, eh? Like, pretty much everything you'd done, we changed. Like, Dad was right. But anyway, I was like, I want it, so I bought it. And when I was building that car, I probably built it for, like, 2 years. And I just had in my mind, like, I'll build this to be the top dog car. So I bought all the parts and stuff for when I'd stopped racing in that 2 year gap for it to be a top dog car.
Yeah.
But then by the time I'd gone racing again, it was like sort of mediocre. It was much better than my other car, but sort of mediocre type thing.
Yeah.
And it was pretty sick when we got, because I haven't post too much on social media. I do a bit more now because it's part of my job. But everyone knew I was building a new car, but they didn't know much about it. And the first weekend we rocked up, same thing. My old man couldn't come for some reason. He was spewing. It's both like the first times. But so I trailered it up behind me wagon.
Yeah.
And everyone hadn't seen me for a while. And they're like, they were real friendly then, you know. They're like, this guy's going to be proper competition now. And everyone was like real stoked, like looking at the car, saying good job and everything. And we won that weekend, which is pretty sick.
Yeah, that's
so cool. I think that was a good way to like shake down the new car.
Yeah.
And it was still like, I was learning it. Like, I never used to be able to drive hills in like, could only get first gear in the old car. This car was like, it was near 400 horsepower. So it was like second, third gear in some of these hills. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, what's going on here? We had twin motor winch, four batteries. Like, and I'd driven it a little bit, but not heaps type thing.
Yeah.
The Monday after the winch challenge, I had a video shoot to do with the magazine, when it was a magazine, which the people I work for now. So I was like, well, I can't bin it. And also, it was like super nice and shiny. I was like, I'd spend all my money on it. I was like, I don't want to wreck it. So we're being relatively conservative, but then it sort of comes back to what you said. We drove a couple of hills, but it would have been boring to watch. Like, we'd come to a hill and we had all the gear, so we'd just pull up at the bottom and winch it. It'd be quick, no penalties.
Yeah.
And we'd obviously learnt by then that penalties wreck your weekend.
Yeah. Especially if you're getting into it a bit more serious. Like, at the start, you're just like, fuck yeah, let's have some fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Where when you've got a car that you're towing there to do that, I suppose it makes sense to go, well, let's do it as good as we can.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we were there to go hard. Like, that weekend we said, like, oh, you always go there to do good, but we said that weekend we'll just learn the car and, like, we'll just take it easy. And then a couple of stages in, we're going a bit harder type thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the first time we raced it, we won, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it sort of proved like that the car was much better. We just had to learn it a bit better. So, yeah.
What about the winch stuff and those sort of things and those sort of tracks fire you up, you reckon? Like, do you get something out of looking at something and going, fuck, this car shouldn't be able to get up there, and figuring out a way to do it? Or what's your sort of drive in those situations, you reckon?
So a lot of the time, if your first car and you race Triple S, like Sterlo's winch challenge, you can walk the track. Because, like, no one's, it's virgin territory. Like, you're walking through grass and knocking down banks and stuff, so you can walk the track.
Yeah.
But other than that, you can only sort of see what you can see from the start box. But like you said, like, you'll get to a hill or you can see a hill and you see people nearly driving it or something. You're like, oh, want to try drive that one if we can type thing. Or, just stuff like that. Yeah. Just pushing the limits, basically.
Yeah.
So
a lot of, like, when you're out just doing, just figuring out new ground, have you ever done that? Like, gone to a place and tried to find a new track, or is it always just.
Yeah, so at that place I said we used to go through after school, Reedy Creek on the Gold Coast. I used to trail in my race car over there, and we just push new tracks in and winch hills. And a lot of the winch challenge stuff was, you could probably drive it and come on square, but you'd be turning like 90 degrees and lifting wheels and stuff.
Yeah,
And there's a real good video of us trying to drive this hill, nearly rolled over but just saved it type thing. So we do heaps. Like, I try to drive the cars as much as I could just to get used to it. So, yeah, we just go pushing new tracks and try and get on stupid angles and stuff to just get the feel of the car. Like, the first time we raced out of the springs, there was this real rude angle and everyone was sort of just hooking up before the angle and winching sort of the 10 metres and up the hill.
Yep.
And we were driving along, and I could hear my mate yelling, hook up, like, and I'm like, oh, it feels good in here. And Abby's like, oh, it feels good. Keep driving, like, your back wheel's in the air. And we drove this angle, and then the hill was real rutted, and sort of because I hit it on the angle, we sort of like danced up there and didn't dip out and drove the hill.
Oh, true.
We were the only car to drive the hill, and I was like, that felt hairy in the car. I was like, oh, it felt hairy, but I knew the point and it felt all right.
Yeah.
So I think, that comes back down to just driving the car more type thing.
Yeah.
What was the locations of the whole Triple S thing? Like, it was Land Cruiser Park, obviously, and then you had, was it much down south of here, or was it more up north our way?
Pretty much north. I think Metcalf used to run a couple down in Orange and stuff. I did one of Metcalf's at the Springs and Emu Creek, I think. But, yeah, it was Land Cruiser Park for Triple S.
Yep.
And then we used to go up to
Lomead,
like Clark is there, for three car.
Yep.
And then Raw, the people used to run three car. We raced at Bunnarabee and Boran or something up your way.
Boran.
And then Sione Park up at Rocky, So that was a hike to get up there.
Was the most boring one. Lomead was sick.
Yeah.
Lomead's
like,
you ever do the Raglan one?
Yeah. Yep.
When they did it, that was sick.
Mm.
Those hill drags finished the thing off.
And Lomead's like, it's nothing's like real big and steep there, but it's a real good, like, everyone calls it the winch truck, like, Christmas party. It's at the end of the year. And the
good
stages
vibes.
Are good vibes. You always finish early in the Saturday Arvo. Everyone chills out. Like, it's and it's good to watch, too.
So I loved all of them except that Yipoon one.
Yeah.
I suppose that'd be another part of the winch show and stuff. Like, it'd be a bit of a party and a gathering and people there for an event, right?
Yeah,
like,
most definitely,
Something like that'd be, like, a bit of camaraderie
You've got all the larrikins there. They're your mates, and they'll be there yelling out, and they'll bounce off everyone in pits when you're fixing your car at night.
Yeah.
Or if you have a good.
Telling every cunt what they should have done.
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
10 pack of rum.
Yeah.
Drive it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some characters around, especially at Cruiser Park. Like, we drove Camp Road once as a race, and we come back from the amphitheatre, and, there's there's all the blokes 20 rums deep, skids at the top and everything.
So, are they ever going to bring that back, that mud balls and music? Too much insurance these days.
Yeah, well, Cruiser Park got sold.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
So it got sold to like the Crofters or whatever, and they were going to turn it into Crofts where you buy a little block of land type thing. And oh, I better start, I guess. Yeah, mate, started. Talking too much.
Yeah.
And yeah, then we raced there when it was the Crofters, and then that fell through. And so it went back to Land Cruiser Park. We raced there for a few more years. And it had been sold, but the owners were still going to let us race there, apparently. And we went up there and got flooded in, and the race got cancelled. And like, we were talking to the owners, like, yeah, we'll let you race. It's all good. Nothing's going to change. And then, yeah, after that weekend, fully shut down. Yeah. It was apparently a massive mining company bought it for carbon offset credits.
Yeah, right.
And because apparently it had a certain amount of kilometres of four-wheel drive tracks. Because they're regenerating them, they got bonus credits or something.
Wow.
And it's like just a cattle property and offset so they can mine more.
Fucking solar farm in 5 years.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But ever since that closed, like the sport took a pretty big hit because I still don't even think now they've found somewhere as good to race.
Nah, that's the hub. And that event on its own, that mud balls and music, having a rodeo, a four-drive comp going on at the same time, country music, and just a big area for people to camp and play up. And drive all day. Like, you didn't even have to be part of the four-drive comp. You could just go touring all day with your mates.
Exactly,
and come
yeah.
back and watch it, everything at night.
Yeah.
You'd see a great event.
You'd see the cowboys down in the pig pen in their B&S shoots. I don't know how they got them there, but they'd be down there doing skids during the day and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was a cool event.
Is there any sort of similar events that happen nowadays that you can go and do a similar thing? Or
Alpha events coming up, mate?
Yeah. You've always got the YouTube. I set something up. Lucas from out at the Springs, he's the new one of the Springs Four Drive Park. I think he's had it nearly 2 years now. He does like a fair few big events a year.
Yeah.
But nothing as big as Mud Bulls. But he's just bought another 1,000 acres. I was talking to him the other day, and he reckons he wants to build like amphitheater thing out there so you can have like corroborees and big events and stuff.
Yep.
So there could be hope, hopefully, because...
Yeah. Oh, you brought that back. Yeah, that's what we need again.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Bunch of blokes out doing shit like that.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Definitely.
Drinking piss and break and stuff.
Mm.
Constantly entertained, I think, that event.
Yeah.
Mate, how have you found, like, you grew up doing all this stuff? When did you notice the starting to film it come in? Because obviously the job you're doing now, which we'll get to soon, with the lads you're with, that's a massive part of it, the whole sort of thing behind it, right?
Yeah.
Where did you start noticing that coming in, and when did you think you should start to get, like, be a part of that and show off what you're doing, or did you use it to then learn what other people are doing as well?
Yeah, so... when I was in primary school, like me grandma, me pop used to go and like marshal the Outback Challenge, and he'd get the video, like VCS or VCR, whatever they were.
Yep.
And me grandma used to tape it for me, and she'd like scan the covers and stick them on the and send them up to me. So I was watching.
That's pretty cool.
I used to watch them. Our Landrum, pretty
the OG. Random.
Yeah, pretty much. Our Landrum used to have a step in it before mum and dad ran out of the house. It was like a 300 mil step. And you used to be able to sit there and you'd have your Lego box up the top with all your Lego cars, your mates. I was making Lego cars before the mower. And yeah, I'd put the bloody Outback Challenge on after school and just watch it. So I was watching since videotapes.
Yeah.
And then obviously the magazines used to be a big thing. Dad used to be subscribed.
We brought that up the other day, just like going to the news agents and that four drive 24/7.
Yeah.
That was, that used to be the best thing, get those DVDs of Roofie and tough truck and different things.
Yeah,
that was the original.
It used to be huge, didn't it? The magazine thing, for all sorts of things. Like you got four-wheel driving, the pig hunting, the stuff, and it was all that was it, wasn't it?
Well, Sean said, like my boss Sean Whale, he used to be like big in the magazine, and he said at one stage four-wheel drive monthly, which it was back in the day, was the second biggest selling men's magazine.
Yeah,
and men's health was first. But yeah, Dad used to get subscription for Christmas or something, and I'd like go home and sneak the bag open at the top and open it before he got home and stuff. So I was always sort of like watching it, and then sort of when I got my license, like I probably didn't really watch it as much then because I didn't need to. I'd go and do it myself type thing. And then when I got into the racing, some people were sort of videoing it, and you'd go and watch them type thing. That was all right, and. Like I touched on briefly before, after that first race I did my race car on the Monday, I had a film shoot to do.
Yeah.
And so that was just Sean, he's my boss now, he used to live down the road from my parents, and he was just to drive past And I was like full proper spec. Like when he would drop past, I'm like, oh, Sean, oh, stop it. You know, and I'm like, look back on it now. I'm like, what a pest I was, eh? And then one day I got this. Actually, I met him once. I didn't even realize this is after I used to pester him. He just had some rims for sale on Gumtree.
Yeah.
Out Bonogan. And I went and bought him. I was like, oh, Sean, I was a bit starstruck. Yeah. I was like, bought these rims off him. I still got them now. But he sort of knew of me then. We had a bit of a chat. And
yeah,
he messaged
right.
me one day, hey, mate, like, I saw you got your new race car done. Do you want to do a video on it? Because they were sponsored by Newland at the time.
Yeah.
And they did a Born This Way series.
Yeah.
So I did a video with them and I met the film crew, like Dorian and a photographer, one of the other blokes, Chips.
Yeah.
Then. So we went and did a video and I think that's still on YouTube now. So I met the boys then. And then probably would have been a year later or so, the film dude, Dorian, called me up and he said, hey, we're going to Glasshouse in Kenilworth. Like, do you want to show us around?
Yeah.
It'll be off camera, but we'll pay you to come along.
Yeah.
And I was like, getting paid to go four-wheel driving, right? Yeah, yeah, sweet. And yep. So, yeah, I showed him around a couple of trips, probably like over like 2 years, like three or four trips type thing.
Yeah.
And then so then I was like watching him and it was real interesting because I hadn't watched him for a while. Obviously, they'd evolved. They're on DVDs then. The magazine was still out.
Yeah.
But just I went on a trip and I was like, whoa, like that's what it turns out. Like it takes so much longer type thing.
Yeah, I suppose then, your experience from just going and doing a track
yeah.
and then going with someone who has to document every step of the way,
oh, yeah.
it would have been like,
the first
what
time,
are you fucking doing?
Yeah,
come
the
on.
First time for them, for having me, they would have been like holding back a puppy. I was like, yeah, we'll go up here. This has been sick too. Like, hang on, mate. We're going to film this. We'll be here half the day. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
But I learned pretty quick.
Yeah.
Hurry up and wait type thing.
So for people who might not be aware, we might have brushed over it pretty quickly, but that's four-wheel drive 24/7 is who you work for
who
now.
Who I work for now, yeah.
Yep.
So
yep.
back in those days.
And Sean is the owner of that?
Yeah, he's yep. the part owner, yeah.
Part owner, yep.
So it started off as four-wheel drive monthly and then
yep.
four-wheel drive action and then magazine sales like decreased. So then they went into YouTube and that's when Glenn, who works in the magazine, Glenn and Sean are the business partners, and that's four-wheel drive 24/7, what it
yep.
is now. Probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, four-wheel drive YouTube channels. Like
yeah.
middle of last year, they ticked over 1 million subscribers type
Man,
thing.
That's insane.
And the yeah. most longest, most consistent, surely.
Yeah, they've been going forever, yeah. I think, like, Graham's been doing it for 20-plus years. Sean,
yeah.
pretty close to
Man,
it,
I was,
thing.
I was listening to an episode of his that he did with Gypsy Tales with Jace.
Yeah.
Shout
yep.
out to him too. And he was saying about the comparison of the magazine, but like you said before,
yeah.
we're getting like 50,000 and that was like one of the biggest magazines.
Yeah.
And then you look at your YouTube thing and put in perspective now,
yeah.
you go, holy fuck, there's like millions of downloads
oh, yeah.
compared to the 50,000 and how much work went into every magazine. And
yeah.
it's just crazy how the space has changed and the opportunities that are now there. And I suppose luck's a silly word, but the fact that they put themselves in the position
yeah.
to be lucky enough that this is how it's all turned out, you know, one of the first to be doing it and can capitalise on it now.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Did Rufy, or what's his name, the old fella?
Rufy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How did he come in? Did he start it or Graham and... or they just always had him as like a
yeah,
subby?
He was like a presenter and I think
yeah.
he used to like write articles and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I think him and Graham worked together. I
yeah.
think Sean, he worked when Sean was there too. Then he obviously retired. So then it was sort of Graham and Sean were the next two. And then obviously they put Jock on. Jock
yeah.
started, I think he just started like in the magazine just doing, because he's been there for a while.
He was like a wild Malcolm Douglas.
Yeah, pretty much. he's a funny dude. He's bloody tall though, standing beside me. Like
different strain of MD.
Yeah. Well, he's from Sydney, so yeah, I'm sure
yeah,
he's,
well, where's
he's
where's
dabbled in some stuff, I'm
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
yeah, so they let you loose up the front, mate.
Yeah, they let me loose up
on
the front.
On that one, and then
yeah.
sort of stemmed from there, did it?
So then I was plumbing, I was fixing this leak one day, and Sean called me. I was like, what's Sean called me for? I hadn't been on a trip for like a while. And he's like, hey, mate, we've had a sponsor pull out of a trip up at Kenilworth. We're going to go to Glasshouse or Fraser or something after. Do you want to come? Like, it'll be your first one on the camera. And I was like, oh, like what do you mean? Like, you know, but you'll be in your car. We'll put some cameras in there. You'll be like, behind the camera with us. I was like, oh, yeah, all right. Like, when is it? And he's like, it's 2 weeks' time. And I'm like, okay, all right. And I'd literally the week before, I'd blew up my wagon, tell me race car to which challenge. And I was like, yeah, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm like,
didn't even tell him about
that. I was like, mate, I'm going to be on the camera. Like, this is sick. I was sort of frothing.
Yeah.
And so I had 2 weeks to fix my car pretty much. And I had the the front locker out of that car in my race car because I broke my race car one. Like, it was a bit of a shit show. But I was like, yeah, I'll be there. Sweet. No worries. I just overcommitted. I'm real good at overcommitting.
Yeah. And, well, bought off more than chew and chew like,
yeah,
fuck,
pretty
mate.
Much. My old boss used to say that to me, and I used to so much.
Yeah.
And I'll ever be I'm like, nah, Jono just tells me I just got to chew like fuck, Dad.
Yeah.
And I got it done. But any other day when you don't need a motor, you can find them. I was searching for nearly the whole 2 weeks to find a TD42 that was half decent.
Yeah.
And I found one. I got it on the Friday, and we were going away on the Monday.
Yeah.
And I had to pay, literally looked like I'd been dragged out of the ocean. I had to pay way too much. It was from a wrecker's. Come with a warranty and stuff. I'm like, all right, sweet. And I had this new turbo and pump sitting there for a while, and I was like, oh, I'll do it all while it's out. Got a clutch and everything. And just jobs I didn't have to do that, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'll do them. I'll just chew.
Yeah,
so I started on Friday night, pulled the motor out. Had to pull the sump off, put a turbo drain in, swap all the stuff over, get the manifold machine, put the injector pump on. I'd never done it before too, like the injector pump. I'm on the phone to me, mate, oh, I got to time it up like this. And then I timed it wrong and had to retime it and whatnot. And I think it was Sunday. Yeah, might have been Saturday night. I'd already had blue with my old man because I'd made a mess in the shed and he wanted to do something. So I have my missus down there. She's shout out to Amy, helping me out.
Yeah.
So lowering the motor down. I'm wiggling it, trying to line it up. We got the motor in, and I'd put this new clutch in and new lines, and I just couldn't get it bled up for the life of me. So Sunday, I got it started, couldn't get the clutch to work. And this is like Sunday, like 8 o'clock. Oh, I'm blowing up, and I'm like, nah. And I still had heaps of other stuff to do. And Dad's like, you're going to have to call him and tell him you're not going. I was like, no, I'm going. Well, what's your plan? Oh, I don't know. And then I was like, no, I've got to go. And Dad come and help me do a few things. Couldn't work out this clutch. And we welded up this fitting, got it sorted. And then there was another problem. I can't exactly remember what it was. Might have been the head was lifted on this motor or something, but it was getting hot or something. Anyway, and Dad's like, well, do you want to take my car? And I'm like, thanks for the offer, Dad, but I'm not taking your car. Like, I'm taking my car on this video. I'm not taking your car. All right. So then I sorted whatever the problem was. I think you had to pull the head off the motor and bolt it back down. And it was pretty late at this time. It was about just before midnight. And I had my wagon in the shed and my race car was in the front yard and the gearbox was out of it for some reason. I pulled some bits off that. Anyway, and it was about 1 in the morning, or near 12, 1, whatever. It was late. I should have been sleeping. I was driving the next day. And I'm like, if I'm going on the show, it's pretty wet. Like, I'm not going to go there just to re-lock her. Like, I look like an idiot. Like, because anyone that has a patrol, you put a front locker in first because they've got an LSD. I'm like, I'll pull the locker out of my race car. So it's raining at like midnight. And I'm over in the yard trying to crack the ball joints together, making a racket. But I overcommitted again, pulled the whole front center out, put it back in.
Is it 1?
Yeah. So we're leaving at like 5:30 or something. Dad's driving down the driveway. He comes down to see me in the shed. He's like, have you slept? I'm like, nah, oil is shit all over me. Stunk of diff oil. Dad's driving down the driveway and Shauna's driving in. And Dad's like, oh, mate, you're going to have to wait 5 minutes. He's been up all night, but he's ready to go. So, the story gets better too. So I race down the shore. I'm like, mate, because I called him the night before. I said, I might have to get in with you. And he's like, that's all good. You just have to bring this, and this if you come with me, like a plate and a fork and all. I'm like, yeah, sweet. And I rush down. I'm like, mate, I'm ready to go, but just need to have a shower. And he's laughing because I'm filthy. And he went and waited down at the cafe, got a coffee. And anyway, I raced down. I'm like, yep, good to go. Sweet. Drove up to Kenilworth. Car was going good. I was happy as Larry. I think he was on the trip. There was like Rocket Rod from Wholesale. Graham was there. Can't remember who else. Maybe Barney. These boys don't even go on the show anymore. But it was like right back in the day. It was early days. And we're at Kenilworth showing them this track. And I hadn't been there for ages. And there'd been floods and this creek had changed. And normally you drop in the creek and drive up and there's like a steep exit. I'm like, this exit will be sick, guys. Like, you'd be able to film it. Might have to winch it. And I'm like, hyping it up. Like, sweet. And I'm like, we go to this creek and there's a track straight across there now. And there's a big sandbank in the middle. I'm like, this is changed. And I'm like, oh, I said, well, this is where we normally go. It doesn't look like people go there anymore, but I'll just go up and see. So, So I drive up and I start to drive up this sandbank. I just get stuck. And I'm like, oh. Trying to back, sunk, and the water's flowing. The water just starts coming in the car.
Fuck,
I've got out. I've tried to winch. There's nothing to winch off. Winched over like a little shrub on this sandbank, and my car's full of water, and then it's just stopped. And I'm like, hopefully it hasn't hydraulic. Like, what's going on here? So then I think everyone's thinking, like, because Sean's brought me along.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this
yeah, we get this fucking
hydro-locked this thing first.
What an idiot. And I'm like, oh, no. Then Sean tries to turn me out. He gets stuck because the sand that soft. Then Rocker gets in front of me, tows me out. And as they're towing me out, like, I could feel the whole car lock up, and it was like a bang and bang. And I'm like, fuck, like, did I rush the front diff? Like, is that a front diff broken? I've never broken a front diff in a patrol. Like, I've broken CVs, but it was a bad noise. So they towed me out, and one of the tires was flat, and they sort of said, like, they were like, this guy's a dickhead. Like,
oh, no.
And they were like, all right, we're going to keep going. You sort yourself out. We'll come back to you the Savo. And I'm like, all right, sweet. Can you tow me up to the flat? Because our bit road schedule.
Yeah.
So they towed me up to the flat, and then I let me car sit for a while. I was trying to crank it over, and I realized there was water in the fuel. That's why it stopped.
Yeah, right.
So I let that settle, and then I drained it out till I got diesel. And then air filters all good. I checked all that, and I was cranking it for a while. Had to get fuel up to it. Nearly got it, ran out of battery power. And just my swag got wet, my clothes got wet. So I just hung everything out in the sun, and I just went to sleep in my roof rack.
Holy fuck.
Would have been a good 4 or 5 hours. I needed it. And I remember the boys coming back, and they're like, righto, mate, like, have you sorted your life out? We're going to camp. I'm like, yeah, I just need a tow start. I ran out of battery power.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, is that all you need? Like, you good to go? I'm like, pretty sure. Like, it should start. And I tried to roll start it. I couldn't. So anyway, they towed me, and then they tow started me, and then it wouldn't accelerate. And then they're like, mate, are you good to go? Like, we're going to camp. And I'm like, no, it's all good. And the accelerator cable had fallen off the injector pump, obviously, because I just put the motor and forgot to do it, like the loose nut fittings. So I fixed that, and then we're good to go at camp. But must have sucked in a bit of water into the engine somewhere, because then I popped the cap and it's milky as, and I'm like, fuck, like, did I not do the head on this thing right? Like, is that from too much boost, or is this from the water? Ring my mechanic, mate. And he's like, just every time you get it hot, just take the cap off. Just try and get it to condensate out.
Yeah.
But that was my first impressions on camera. Mate. Yeah.
That is. So I reckon it would have proper saved you when they dropped you off to the side and just went, yeah, you sort your shit out.
Yeah.
The fact that you did sort your shit out, I reckon that probably would have saved you a fair bit. Like,
I think they were expecting me to. Yeah, they're like, oh, do you want us to call a tow truck? And I was like, tow truck, mate. Yeah. I spent all my money in this motor, so I can't afford a tow truck. Like, but, yeah.
Oh, you would have been peeking too, eh? Like,
I was stressing too.
And you're thinking, for fuck's sake. Like, you would have been thinking, I'm like,
hindsight is such a good thing. I'm like, the track went across. Like, I should have walked it, mate. And I'm like, oh, they're not going to have me back. This is my first go on camera. Like, I've blown it.
Yeah.
And, we still talk and laugh about it now. Like, does the camera dudes. Like,
you would.
Yeah, I'm like, mate, oh, I don't know why he's got me back. He's like, mate, we got you back. Like you said, he's like, you sorted out. You were good to go. He's like, and he's like, you're always, like, helping the boys out. You know, you're first one to jump in. And I'm like, oh, yep. Just froth it, mate. So, but, yeah, that was my first impression. And
we
talk about it every now and laugh about it, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Fully flooded my car and, yeah.
How have you gone with, like, we've seen a bit of it as well. Like, obviously, you put yourself out there when you're in those situations. You're online. You're the new guy in a show that's already established in that. Have you found it's been a good reaction, like, more positive than negative? Like, do you read much of the comments, and how have you gone with that?
Yeah, so, like, like I said before, I don't like, post that much. Like, sometimes you go down a rabbit hole, like, on watching reels and stuff, but I don't, like, post or get into it that much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sometimes I do now, because work makes you reply sometimes or whatever. They say, oh, I'll talk to this bloke. But when I first started, I didn't watch the videos, didn't look at the comments, because I'm like, it's not me, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the lucky thing was after that big stuff up, like, I went on a couple of big trips with him. I did, like, nearly 15 trips with them before I started. I was doing a bit of subbing when I was still plumbing and digging and stuff. And I think sort of people already knew me, or I guess as a character type thing.
Sort of like they brought you in a little bit to test the waters to see if it was working.
Yeah, and I think I think it was pretty lucky I'd done that, because I think most of it was like positive. Obviously, no matter what you do, you're going to get some negative people, but
of course,
it is what it is type thing. Yeah.
So how have you found it, mate, since you joined with the boys and stuff like that, like some of the trips you went on, or just seeing how they do it in a different world of, like, making sure you film everything? Has it been a good experience?
Yeah, I've definitely had to, like you said, even when I'm doing, sometimes I got to film stuff I'm doing in the shed, like I'm building the car at the moment, I got to film it. And yeah, you really got to slow down and film it or talk people through it. And I'm like, why? Like, I know how to do it. And that works like, well, there's people out there that will have no idea what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah. I've got to slow down type thing.
It's yeah. hard when you're in the flow of things too. You, yeah. And you're going, oh, shit.
What yeah.
Different angle. Mm. And totally, you're holding something up.
Totally different thing, but the same sort of thing for us with the vlog sort of style content, right, as in like trips away that we do now.
Yeah.
We want to be able to put it into a video to show people yeah. what we're doing and that. And it's yeah. fucking hard when you're just peeling.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, hang on. We yeah. should probably fucking do something mm. about this.
And things like you don't even think about, like, you got to stop and, like, sort of, like, film your air down your tyres. You got to talk about the trip. And I'm like, when we go wheeling for mates, we just hook it to the track, let down our tyres and go. Like, you, yeah. you really got to slow it down type thing.
Do you remember when Sean sort of brought it up with you about getting you on sort of full time with them and stuff? Or yeah, so what
like,
was that like?
I always used to like joke about him on trips. I'd say something or like sometimes in the end, it got to the point where I'd got a good supervisor job at the place I worked at. And I had to start saying no to trips because I was like, I've got a real good job now.
Yeah.
And there comes a point in time where it's not going to be worth my boss's worthwhile to have me employed full time. Like I'm running a crew of dudes type thing.
Yeah.
So I said no. And then I think I wouldn't say they got shitty, but they were like, oh, like you always make it happen for us. Like a couple of times I had to cancel things or I'd always make it work because at the start I was sort of frothing. And now I'm like, oh, this is just, it is what it is type thing.
Yeah.
And I said no a few times and they come back. They offered me a job. They didn't offer me a job as such. They said, oh, this is what we'd start you on if you started. We're on a trip just talking around the fire. And I was like, oh, I can't start on that. Like,
yeah.
I got a house now and that sort of stuff. Like, I can't go backwards
yeah.
just for having a cool job.
Yeah.
And then we always joked about on trips. And I think Doz, one of the cameramen, like that dude I filmed the first video with, he was always pushing. He's like, because all the boys are so busy. Like, everyone thinks they go on a trip. Then they're at home doing nothing, but they're filming like every day, working weekends. Yeah. Oh, I
completely understand.
Yeah. Like you boys would know all about that.
Yeah.
And Doz was pushing. He's like, we need another presenter. We'll get Jesse. And they're like, oh, don't know if we have enough for him type thing. And then one day Sean just sent me a text. I was at work and he's like, hey, mate, are you available for a chat tomorrow afternoon with me and Glenn? And I was like, oh, all right. And I sort of knew what it was. And at this point in time, I had that good supervisor job, but my boss had two companies on the go and he was sort of downscaling that one and yep. I was going to buy and truck a digger off him and we'd been through all the calcs and stuff, sat down, worked today. He's like, you stay with me, we'll do this or I'll help you like finance you into this truck and digger. And I was like, because you know when you're a trader, you boys would have got it too. You meet someone at a party or someone's husband, they're like, oh yeah, I'm Jesse, I'm a plumber. They're like, oh, you work for yourself, do you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, nah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, I want to, but I was just too scared to take the jump. And I yeah. sort of spew on, I didn't do that earlier on in life, like when you have less commitments, but it worked yeah. out good.
Mm.
I don't think there's ever a right time for anything.
Exactly.
Living by that.
It's yeah. fucking, you're pretty right, eh?
Like, yeah. You wait.
There is sometimes a little bit, though, like I think, because we always tell people to have a crack, make sure you do something you yeah. enjoy doing, but it's the same, like you probably put a good example out before, mate, is that you had commitments, you had repayments that you had to pay for.
Yeah.
That first little offer sort of thing, it was like, that's where some people might make the mistake and jump in there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And all of a sudden, it's like, I've got this cool job, but you can't afford shit. You start missing payments.
Yeah.
You still got to make sure that you cover your commitments yeah. while taking that jump.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that's a big one that probably forget to reiterate a fair bit of the time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so then I got this call. We had a call with Glenn and Sean. And I think Sean must have worded up Glenn. I'd never spoken to Glenn. He must have worded him up a little bit. Because then they gave me an offer and I was like, thanks, boys, I appreciate it. But no, like I said before, I can't do it. And then Glenn sort of threw at me, you know, oh, but you become a household name, you become this, you know. And I'm like, oh, I don't care about any of that, mate. Like, that's the stuff I don't really like. Like, it's tricky too. Like, people starting to recognize me now. And I'm like the other day I went to Bunnings and I walked out and there's some dudes standing in my car. And like, I want to be nice, but I'm real, I don't know how to explain it. But I'm like, yeah, like, I know why they're there.
Yeah.
And they're looking at you. And it's like, well, I don't know who you are, so I'm not, like, if you want to talk to me, say hi type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I said to, and we were in that phone call, and I think Sean said to Glenn, I told you you'd say that type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we had that chat, and then I think Sean, I was doing something with Sean, he came over and he gave me another offer, and I was like, he's like, would you come across to this? I'm like, yeah, but, like, just let me have a chat to me missus and stuff about it, because I just, like, come home with all these numbers that are with me old boss about buying the truck and digger and stuff. I'm like, it's pretty much going to be the same, but there's heaps different, I'll be away for work and whatnot. And I was like, I'm denied. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to buy the digger. We'll be better off. We'll be better off. And then my missus and some of my mates were like, nah, like, you're mad if you don't do it. Like, so many people would want this job. I'm like, that's a good point.
Plus,
like,
your whole life leading up to this
thing. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you used to froth this and now you're like thinking about saying no. I'm like, I'm just sort of as you grow up, you think the bigger picture, like you said.
Yeah. Well, you get drilled into your man of what is the job?
Yeah.
What's a, what should you do? What does everyone else do?
Yeah, I remember talking to my grandma about it, and she's like, don't do it. It's video. And like, that's not going to be a job. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It is going to be, grandma. Like, it's a thing. And she's like, nah, buy the digger.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, my mates and misses and stuff are just like, you can always go back to plumbing or shaping Australia. Like, you can always go back to what you know. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. So then, yeah, bit the bullet and said, yeah. So
that's fucking cool, man. That's it would have been a big decision for you too, like at a crossroads, especially because like the digger and the truck and that, obviously you would have known you had work there.
Yeah.
You knew what was involved. Mm. And so it was a riskier decision doing what you're doing.
I ummed and ahed on that for like 2 months and I'd finally been like, yep, I'm doing it. And then like literally 2 days later, I got that text from Sean and I was like, oh,
fuck.
Yeah. And then they needed an answer like real soon because they wanted me to go on the trip with Jock. And I said, oh, well, fuck.
It was a pretty cool feeling when you agreed to it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And have the support of your missus and people around you to be like, okay. Yeah,
well, I didn't tell too many, like, I told a couple of close mates and me. I didn't even tell my mum and dad straight away because I'm like, oh, I told me old man. And then my mum called me, told him, and then I didn't tell too many of my mates because I'm like, I don't want them to be, like, off me that I'm like, you know, like, I'm not going to be.
Tall poppy syndrome sort of thing.
Yeah, or? I was like real, like, sort of, like, tail between my legs about it. And,
but and yeah. At the start, too, you sort of want to suss it all out, make sure it's working before you go.
Before you carry on about it.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure it was 100% locked in.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
The next thing was like my other boss, so I plumbed for, I did my apprenticeship, and then one of the, this is a bit of a tangent to get into the story.
Fucking go
but one of the plumbers I worked with when I did my apprenticeship, he had an earth moving company.
Yeah.
And I got like laid off on the spot from a plumber once. I had a bit of a falling out with this builder and he was ragging on our apprentices and I just said, like, sort of blew up at him. I was like, stuck up for the apprentices.
Yeah.
And I got called in the office next morning and let me go. And,
right.
Yeah, straight on the spot. Yeah, like, he did the right thing and paid me out 2 weeks. I'm like, mate, I'm happy to work for my money. He's like,
yeah.
And he didn't even take it on my holidays. So he's like, no, I just need you gone. So I think the builder must have given him the ultimatum, like, either you lose at work or this guy goes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that job was real by the book. We had iPads and everything was by the minute and stuff. And I think I was just like the rough tradie bloke who got it done. I was like, I said to him, mate, I'm your best plumber. Your other plumbers can't plumb for shit. And he's like, I know. And he admitted it.
Yeah.
But he's like, they're
can't
more
lose that contract.
Yeah, yeah, they're more people person. They do all the shit by the book. I'm like, all right. Like, if there was a problem, I'd just sort it out. Whereas I'd call him back. We can't do this. It's dodgy. But
yeah, the permit's not there. We got to wait for.
Yeah, pretty much. Right.
You're
like,
just
right,
fly in there.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, and I think I pissed him off a bit with that. But anyway, so I got sacked on the spot, and it was like right before Lomead, and I just bought a new turbo and clutch and stuff for my race car. And I was on my ass, and I was like, I've got to race Lomead. It's a team event, like, and I was living week to week because I was living at home, and I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? So I called Ant, the plumber who I did my apprenticeship with. And he had this earth moving company. I was like, have you got any work for me? I just got sacked. And he's like, oh, nah, like, nah. I'll get back to you. Maybe call Wombat. Call Wombat, nah. And then I was sort of packing. I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? What can I sell? I was like, I might sell some wheels or something like to pay. I'll get Lomead done and I'll sort it out. It was right before Christmas. Shit time to get a job. And then Ant called me back that arvo and he's like, you still looking for work? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, I can probably give you cash work till Christmas. I'm like, yeah, what am I doing? He's like, oh, I just like, all the machines are coming back to the yard. You want to like paint some counterweights, paint the tipper bins and service them all. And we had to change some track rollers and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, sweet. Like, happy days. So then, I worked for him. I'm glad you get done for tax evasion. You can pay cash. So we worked for him cash till like end of January after Christmas. He's like, oh, I'm happy with what you're doing. You're smashing it out. Yep. So, worked. And then after January, he got this job. Out at Jim Boomer just digging for a nursing home in his 20 tonner. It was a big rock breaker job. And he's like, do you want to do this? Like, we'll put you in the books and then you can just be an operator and like do the mechanical stuff. And I'm like,
yeah,
sweet. So then, just put it on then. And I'd worked to him for like 3 or 4 years. And it was like real good because I did my apprenticeship under him. And like, he was just total opposite from the other boss I had. Like, I'd call him like, oh, what do you want, you useless prick? And like, we sort of just, we're good mates.
A bit of banter
and,
around there.
Yeah, so then it comes back to, we just had this big chat about my old boss and he was sort of downsizing his other business, ramping up his plant hire business. And we're working at the whole week. I had this week to tell him that I was quitting. I was trying to tell him every day. I was having him misses. I'm like, I'll tell Ant today just so he can get the chance. And then the day we're working at his shed, doing all the stuff, we build like a rack for the augers and all the stuff in the back of the truck. And he had a little stick where I took my MIG over there and we were having a real good day welding this stuff up. And I just couldn't tell him. And then I get to the end of the day and it was like, Because we sort of had this agreement. He's like, you know, you're not leaving unless you buy a machine, or he knew that I was going to work for the full drive dudes.
Yeah.
He's like, that's sort of your leave pass. And I'm like, All right. And
that's then good, eh?
He was real good about it. And I was like packing it. And he's like, he'll be fine. And like, you'll be able to go work for him still. And I still do now. But so I think it was the Friday. And it still would have been 2 weeks notice or whatever. But I said, waited right to the end of the day. And I was like, mate, I got some bad news for you. He's like, oh, what? And I'm like, I'm fucking leaving. I've had enough. And because I said it in a joking way, he's like, what's the news? And I'm like, no, I'm leaving. And he looks at me and he's like, those four-wheel drive cunts, they fucking give you a job, didn't they? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and he went silent. He just gave me a big hug. He's like, fucking good on you, mate. That's fucking sick. He's like, I knew this day was coming. I'm spewing. I'm losing you. But like, that's you, mate. That's good you. And like, I don't drink that much. And that night, we got on the fucking piss that hard. Like, we joke. We started on beers and went to like Canadian clubs, whatever he had. And he's got a little pool room. I think we were doing shots of Zambuca and stuff. And I was blind. And we called my missus at like 8. I think we started like 2 in the arbor because it was Friday.
Yeah.
Called the missus at like 8. Yeah, I'm ready to be picked up. She comes over. I don't think we left my boss's place till like 11:30 or 12.
Yeah.
And we were just being pissed. Both of us. Hey. And so she picked me up. And then the next morning, I was pretty cooked that night. Like, I was in the shower spewing up.
Yeah.
And I passed out in the shower for a while. And I never let me get that blind. I said, I'm like, fuck, sorry, but I had to, you know? It was you know? And then the next day, she's like, oh my God, I'm dusty. She's like, I've got no sympathy for you. That was like self-inflicted. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. And she was going out all day. And I was like, oh, do you want to drop me at my car? Because my car was apart in the shed. I had to get my work car from aunt. She's like, all right. And she dropped me there at like 8 in the morning. And I got in the car and I was like, you shouldn't be driving here, right? And I called my boss and he was out and he's like, yeah, I'm at this job quoting it. And he's like, I've got my sunnies on and I've got to look away from the bloke when I'm talking to him because, oh, fuck, I stink, hey. I was like, how long until you're home? And he's like, oh, half hour. I was like, all right, I'll stay here. And I end up staying there like half the day because I'm like, I cannot drive.
For sure. It was funny. That's good, mate, that he was so supportive of that.
Yeah, he was real good about it. And I was sort of shitting myself. But like the whole time, because I used to take a fair bit of time off and he was real good about me taking like unpaid leave to go on the trips and stuff.
Yeah.
And he sort of knew it was coming type thing.
It's good that you can still work for him now too.
Yeah. So if we work on a weekend or something, we get a loo day.
Yeah.
So normally I like bank up the loo days and it's cool. I'm like, I got a week or 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And just go work for him for to play money.
Yeah, good
and,
shit.
And he's real good too. Like, he still lets me use his machines for like cashies and stuff type thing. And just, he doesn't want anything from it too. He's like, I'll fill it up before you take it. You bring it back full and greased and happy days.
So, no, that's prime.
Yeah,
mate.
It's real good. So,
what sort of thing do you do with the boys now? Like, will they show you a few trips a year that you're booked in for and then maybe you run your own little thing off to the side in your own sort of style? Or what's
the
feel for it?
Yeah, so they're getting better at being organized.
Yeah.
They've never been the best, but the company's growing pretty big. So they've got like a bit of growing pains and stuff, but so this year, end of last year actually, we got a calendar for this year of what trips are doing, and it's changed already.
Mate,
but
calendars are fucking very handy.
It's crazy though, like I've never had a calendar like that. Normally I tick off the one in the shed when stuff's on, but you look at it and you're like, shit, like it's so quick.
Fucking
so you've got, I think I'm doing like 4 or 5 big trips for the year, and then I've got like little projects on the side we're starting this year. Like I've still got that build I'm finishing off, and we're doing like I think we've got like 3 or 4 other ideas, and Tim, like the bloke who oversees me, I say, this is the idea. Like, we have a bit of a meeting about it. We all get in there. We all get these ideas. And then, so I've got these 3 little side projects, and I've just finished sort of one, like the roughly scripted it and idea of what we're doing, sent it to him, and he got the go ahead. So next week I'm sorting out a few things, and the week after we're going to like start filming it type thing, which is pretty cool.
So a few little projects that you get to sort of obviously run by them, but get the ticket approval, and then you can just go nuts.
And they're slowly leading to more different things. Like Graham does the caravan thing now, and I know Sean's like, he's a mad fisher, and he's the boss too.
He was into his fishing.
He's been trying to get this fishing show happening for ages, and all the other, they're like, nah, you can't do it. And I was like, Shauna, you're the boss, mate. Just get it done.
Go fishing, bro.
Shauna. Yeah, pretty much. last year, him and his fishing mate, Sammy Hitsky and Chewy, one of the cameramen, they just made this split decision. I think Tim, like the big dog in the Brizzy office, was like, all right, if you're going to do it, this is your time. And I think he thought he was going to say no. It was like, I think it was like 8 days to go to Cape and back and film an episode. And
I think I've seen a bit of that. Yeah, they did well.
I watched the video that day. It was sick. Yeah. And so they did it. And I think Tim was like, shit, I didn't think they were going to do it. But they got it done and apparently went, like, real well. Like, so hopefully he'll be able to do them more and stuff.
Well,
so.
Mate, I reckon it's just one of those things. As long as you keep, like, obviously everyone subscribes to a channel because they like that certain content, right, and stuff like that. But I don't think there's any harm in adding things to it.
Exactly,
It's not like you overtake the four-wheel drive content with just fishing all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But adding a few videos here and there, I think it's cool to try the waters a bit here and there, and you might grow your audience. Like some fishing dude might bump into your video and then go into the others. Exactly. So, no, it's pretty cool, mate. And I think that the space that it's in, being relatively new as well, is it's just trying different shit and figuring it out because there's no real blueprint to go off and copy.
Exactly,
because it's all very fucking new, this whole thing.
And it's the American Australia is the total opposite from, like, we were talking about camping before to YouTube. Like, YouTube in America is a massive thing. Like we said, it's still such a new thing here in Australia.
Yeah.
But, like, whenever I go to the Brizzy office, Mads, one of the chicks that works up there, she looks at all the comments and stuff like that, and she's like, someone will comment saying, oh, you know, we don't want to see Graham go caravanning, and then someone will comment, yeah, we love it. And then someone like, oh, it's a full driving show, why is Sean O'Fishing? But someone like, that was the sickest episode ever, or like, we don't want to see you do this. So like you said, the audience just gets bigger and bigger, and it works.
You need to do that because there's so much saturated content now so quickly on YouTube of everyone touring and all. Yeah,
exactly.
So you need to branch out and different people from that company going to do what they love to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's been some of your favourite trips with the boys that you've gone on, mate, you reckon? Or any sort of memorable ones or highlights that you've got?
The first big one I did before I worked for them, when I was still plumbing or digging, I went to Kimberley. So I got that was a stitch up too. That was like 2 weeks before. So Tim called me, the bloke in the Brizzy office. And whenever he called me, I'm like, oh, we're going on a trip tomorrow, are we? Because it was always last minute. He's like, no, in 2 weeks' time, do you want to go to Kimberley's? And I'm like, 2 weeks? Like, you feel all right? That's pretty late notice, but that's a lot of notice for you. So, went to the Kimberleys. I think one of their sponsors their driver couldn't go or something, and it was too late for them to roll another sponsor in. So, they're like, you can't pull out. We've already, that money's in it. And they said, oh, what about if you get a driver for the car? So, they called me up, and I was driving, like, a Goodyear Raptor Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I'd done, like, East Coast stuff, but, yeah, so...
Because
I was still working. So the cars got trucked to Darwin because everyone had a busy schedule. And then we got him at Darwin, drove over to Catherine, then met up with, like, Ronnie, the tour guide, and did this Umbugari track. It used to be like a town in the middle of nowhere type thing, an Aboriginal community.
Yeah.
It's a track that goes in, then out type thing. And that was pretty loose because it was the year after COVID. I think it was 2020. And no one had done the track in 2 years.
Yeah, right.
So, like, some of it, halfway through, Ronnie... he runs tours through there, and his car broke a few things, and he had to go back, obviously, to get his car sorted. And he's like, oh, go back, get me car sorted so I'm ready for the tour, but I'll meet you from the other end. And Tim from the Mitsalo company, he had just his Moto GPS. We had HEMA, and one of the blokes downloaded Google Maps, like, offline. So I've got three different maps, and Ronnie left us, and we had, like, 3 days. Might have been four days till we seen him next. And we get to this one point, and everyone's is different. So we followed Tim's, like, motorbike GPS. Like, that'll be the most legit. And, like, we were just bush bashing, turning around, like, winching through creeks, cutting trees, and everyone was popping tires because there was, like, bushfires had been through, and the wood was that stakes. Hard and stuff. It was pretty wild.
Yeah.
And we're in this big valley. It was a sick camp. Like, we camped in this valley, and the boys are shooting and stuff up in Arvo, and we walked up the big hill, watched the sunset.
Mm.
Anyway, we had a camper trailer there in it, like, the freezer on, and... it's just bouncing around. I was behind the camp trailer, and its wheels were in the air so much all day. Yeah. And the plug came out of the freezer, and we got to camp one day, and all the meat's not frozen anymore.
Oh,
no. So we lost a bit of food. So we were, the boys are fishing. We camped at this one spot they call Paradise, and like nearly every, I'm not a fisher, but like nearly every cast you could catch a fish. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, nice.
So we're eating like heaps of fresh fish and stuff, and we're slowly running out of bits and pieces after that. And like we were talking about before, it was a 3 week trip. I think we were off grid for like nearly 22 days or something.
Yeah.
And when we were forging our own path without Ronnie, we've been like 3 or 4 days into it, and we're all stinking smell. We've been at chainsaw on and stuff. Yeah. And we come across this manky bit of water we had because we're going through all these creeks, and some were a bit crocky and some were pretty good. There was a flowing one.
Yeah.
We probably should have stopped, but like, we're making good time. We'll keep going. And we got to this manky bit of water, and Sean drove past, and I was like, you think what I'm thinking? He reversed back. He's like, yeah, fuck it, let's go swimming. So there was like six or seven blokes in this thing with all their shirts off,
having
a scrub. It was pretty manky, but it was much better.
I'll have to grab some wet wipes, brother.
Yeah. Well, we did have, but we ended up running out, I think, because we didn't really schedule for it to take that long, because Ronnie normally does a tour in like a week. So they scheduled 2 weeks off grid and ended up being more because it was so hard to push the track through.
After COVID.
We'd all nearly run out of fuel and tyres and whatnot when Ronnie met us at the other end.
Yeah.
And we told him, we got to this point and the maps went up here and here and we went through the valley. He's like, you went through the valley? And he just started pissing himself laughing. He's like, no one would have been through that valley in 15 years. And we're like, well, fuck, we can tell, mate.
He
was laughing. He's like, oh, that's good, you boys opened up. I might take the tours through there now.
Yeah, right.
We got back to Catherine that night, like once we finished the track, and went into the pub. We're like, we got accommodation that night, have a nice shower. We went to the pub for a feed, and it was bingo or trivia night, and it was just that much on. And it was so weird because we'd been in the bush for that long. It was just like, what? Like, there's a lot going on here. It was almost too much, hey?
Getting back into reality.
Yeah, but that's probably like one of the most memorable trips. Like, there's so many things that happen.
That would have been wild.
You'll never forget. Yeah.
Just figuring it out and fucking working your way through it.
Yeah. And we got to this creek. And we couldn't go, like Ronnie was like, this is the highest I've ever seen it. Like, we're not going across. This is gnarly. We have to wait like a day. And it was tighter when it was flood water. So it was going down. We kept putting like, I think we had lunch there and put a stick there and watched it drop and it was dropping.
Boys were insane. Send Jesse in the first time.
Pretty much, I wasn't in my car. No worries. I'll give it a go. But so then we were camping on this boulder field. There's just rocks everywhere. And the camera boys went to turn around and they put this massive stick through the radiator. So we had to like bodged that up, and then Sean's diff started leaking, and I think someone's car wouldn't start in his auto. So we had to, like, the Arvo, we spent fishing fixing cars while Sean and I was fishing and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool. Just like you said, just had to make it work. And then that night, Sean and I were fishing, and it, like, you could see croc eyes everywhere. It was like, when we rocked up, Ronnie was like, you know, all about croc safety. And we've done Cape and stuff before, and you might see one or two crocs up there. And we're like, right, mate, that's all good. And the first creek crossing we rocked up to, there was three crocs sitting in there sunbaking. So we're like, all right, yep, we'll be careful.
Here we are.
And Sean was fishing that night, and I think it was only Sean and Tim left down there, and we'd gone up. We just hear this like cheering, and like he was so stoked. And he caught this meter two barra. And he's like, mate, I'd never seen him so stoked, and I was like, oh, it's a fish. But he's like, mate, I've been trying to catch this fish like my whole life, and he was that stoked.
Yeah, that's
so that was pretty cool.
Is that the one
like
he kept
that.
The scale of? Off
yeah.
His episode
yeah, he's got it in his wallet.
Good on him. Like, that's fucking cool.
He was so stoked. I was like, oh, it's a fish, but he was frothing.
Yeah.
No, I still haven't caught a barra. So,
yeah.
I think he's caught plenty now. Like, after the trip, him and Graham went heli fishing. They got dropped in the river out there. I think they're catching meteries all day type thing.
Yeah.
But
Fucking oath, man. And so what about this year, mate? Like, everything's obviously opened back up now, free reign, you know, the channel's pumping.
Yeah.
By the way, is it just full drive 24/7 on all the socials and the channels and that for people who aren't aware of it?
Yeah, full drive 24/7,
Cool. So make sure you go and check that out. But
go and have a look, yeah.
What trips have you guys got sort of planned upcoming or things to look forward to? You probably can't say.
I don't know if I get my butt kicked here.
You'll be able to listen to this after and let us know what to take out and shit.
Yeah, exactly. No, I should be right. We've got a big one coming up in only a couple of weeks, in middle of March. I'm going to America.
Oh, prime.
So the boys went there last year. And Sean got his car shipped over there.
Yeah.
And I think they were waiting to see how those episodes went because it's a diesel and they don't have any diesels over there in certain states. You had to get like some emissions permit and it can only stay there for 1 year under that permit.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
They saw how the shows went. They went good, so they're going back again.
Yeah, awesome.
And I've never been overseas. Like, didn't even have a passport. And they called me up and, you want to get a passport? And originally I was just going as backup if Graham couldn't go. I was like, oh, okay, I'll get one, sweet.
Yeah.
And then Graham couldn't go because his schedule was too big. And I was like, oh, shit, like.
You're on.
Going to America. Like, I've been overseas. I've been to Tassie and Fraser and stuff, but that's as far as I've been. It's pretty wild. So I'm like, I wouldn't say I'm excited about it yet. I'm like, I'm not stressing, but I'm like, I don't think it's set in yet. Like, a couple of weeks before I'm
no
like,
expectations, but.
Yeah.
What sort of length, like how long will you be there for?
So the boys are going for, I think it's like nearly 6 weeks all up. So Sean will be there for the whole time and so will the camera boys. And Jock will be like the first 3 weeks and I'll be the second three.
Yeah, cool.
So it's a stitch up. I got to fly overseas by myself the first time, just by myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I have to change airports and shit? They're like, no, you should be direct here. But when you get to this place, wherever I'm going to in America, I've got to change flights and go on another joint. I'm like, well, this will be sweet. Yeah, just Jesse in a big airport. You know, what is going on? And they're like, oh, we won't be there for probably like a day and a half after. So we'll just sort you out some accom and you'll be right. Like, we'll catch you when we catch you. And I'm like, fuck. Like, and all my mates are like, oh, you got a tip in America? You got to do this? Oh, be careful of this. And I'm like, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to get beat up. I'll just give them the cash for what I want. And then, where's my tip, mate?
Yeah. Fucking oath, mate. That sounds awesome.
It should be a sick trip. So it's been pretty quiet start to year. The boys have done one trip down New South Wales. I wasn't on that. I've just been doing a bit of commercial filming and like a bit of stuff in that car I'm building. And then after that, like after America, pretty much hit the ground running. It ramps up. I think we're going to Cape. Normally go to Cape every year.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year was the first sort of big travel show me and Jock did without the big dogs. And I think this year the boys are going to Kimberley again and Cape is at the same time. So it'll be another trip just me and Jock without the big dogs. Yeah. That's like, we weren't worried. More
responsibility sort of thing.
Yeah, like a bit more responsibility. But it's like me and Jock bounce off each other pretty good.
We'll run for a piss, boys.
Sorry about that little piss break there. The back teeth were floating. Been sinking into a few. But, mate, to the tip, like we sort of touched on a little bit before, I think it's always one of those things that everyone wants to do at least once that's half into having a look around the country that we're in. And
it's un-Australian not to want to go to the Cape, in my eyes.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That's right. I think we went on a hunting trip before and went up to a property called Bamboo Station, I think, years and years ago. So it wasn't like going up to the tip, like getting the old photo with the sign sort of shit. But it's definitely something I think with the cars and that now that we'd planned in the next couple of years to do a big trip up there, mate, you would have done multiple, wouldn't you, now?
Yeah, you've definitely got the setup for the trip now to make it nice and easy.
Yeah.
I'd been once before I went with work, with my mates and stuff.
Yep.
I think I've been three times. Yeah, so I've been four times now, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So each time, like you said, learn a bit more on spots and stuff to do. But like you said, like you could never have enough time up there. When we went on our trip with mates, we spent 4 weeks, like Gold Coast to Gold Coast. You could have doubled that, tripled that, and you still wouldn't have got bored.
Yeah.
But every time, it's one of those places, like, it is getting overpopulated now and, like, pretty busy. And there's heaps, like, the tally track in the last 4 years is disintegrated, like, just grubs. Like, everywhere people camp, like, there's shit paper everywhere. They're just rubbish, and it's really sad to see. So hopefully, like, people can clean up their acts a bit. And there is people, like, putting things in place to sort that out, but
it's disappointing, eh? It's like the more accessible places get for more amounts of people, the more it gets fucked up.
And I think COVID played a big part in that. People reckon, like, people couldn't go anywhere, so they started, like, camping and doing things like that. And it's definitely disintegrated, but that's a bit of a tangent. But, every time you go there, you find something new to do or see. So, like, I'd definitely be able to give you boys a few pointers.
Mate. I think we'll be in touch and that. And I don't think it's, like, anytime soon because we already booked fucking half the year out.
I don't think it'll be this year.
But it's definitely one of those ones that you plan around and make a big mission out of sort of thing.
And the good news for you boys, you're half a day closer as well.
What about just the average tracks? Like, obviously, I don't think I'm ever going to be someone like, you were saying before, you see this thing that you don't think you can get up, see if you can get up there.
You sit at the bottom and have beers watching people.
I don't think I'm like that, but it interests me to get to a point to do some tricky sort of tracks and that.
Or even fishing and stuff.
So that sort of shit. There, like getting somewhere to do something where it might limit the amount of other people that are going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what sort of pumps me up. And
The three main ones up there, you got Tally Track, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And sort of Frenchman's Track, that takes you from Chile Beach over sort of a Bremel Station type thing. Chile Beach is real good. You got to get it on a day where it's not windy though.
Yeah.
There's a bit to see around there. And then Old Coach Road. Some people either rate it or hate it. It's can get a bit boring towards the end. There's some cool stuff to see and like some good fishing and there's like an old mining town out there and stuff like that. So definitely a good place to explore. So
mate. Mm. Oh, it's fucking cool, bro. It's been it's pretty cool to hear like you growing up with the mower, with your first car, everything like that has sort of you've just chipped away at it because it's something you like, and now you're getting to do it,
following your passion.
Yeah, like now you're getting to do it as a job. It'd be a pretty cool feeling every now and again for you being able to sit back and go, it's pretty fucking cool that I'm getting to do this.
Well, your parents, they lived in the house for 20 plus years, and they moved. Oh, a couple of weeks ago and we found heaps of old 4W magazines. Like, they don't even make them anymore.
Yeah.
And I was in the shed, like, I opened them up with Dad. I'm like, I'll keep this one. It's got, like, I kept a few because there's a few good ones. And I was, like, looking. I'm like, it's pretty, like, you don't really think about it now, but I'm like, it's pretty sick that, like, I do this for a job now. Like, when I was a kid, I was a fan. I'm like, this is sick. Like, you know, that's awesome. And I'm like, it was sort of like a hit me moment. I'm like, that is sick. Like, that's, I do that now.
Fucking oath. So, and it's pretty, yeah. I think it's pretty easy, and you fall into the trap of, because then it's just your job and you have commitments and you're this and you've got to get that done, got to get that done.
Yeah.
That's like even us sometimes. You sort of sit back and every now and again you're pretty, it's, I think it's handy to have that gratitude moment to go, you know what? Might be having a fuck day.
Yeah.
But things are pretty good.
Yeah.
Compared to like, how it could be.
Listening to you boys too, like, I can relate sometimes because obviously you've come from doing a trade background. Like you said, I think when he's like, yeah, I was at a birthday party and one of the blokes asked me what I did and it's just easier to say fit. I'm like, yeah, I'm just a plumber.
Yeah.
And I do that sometimes, and then like someone else will rock up or they'll be like, no, or one of your mates like, no, you work for this. And then you look like a dickhead because you just told the other bloke you're a plumber because it's easier. But like, how do I explain it? Like, you don't want to say,
spend 20 minutes explaining the whole sit, the yeah, that's
well, right. Like, when we got married a couple of years ago, last year, I'll probably get me ass kicked for that, whenever it was. But you got to write on the, you got to write on the best, the marriage certificate what your job is. And I'm like, I was put plumber. And he's like, you know, a plumber? I'm like, well, it's easy as I was right, plumber. Yeah. Like, shit like that.
I think we did that the other day at some meeting and that as well. Mm. I was like, I don't even know.
I was going business owner now.
Yeah, that's the go. Yeah, you got a few, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, mate, it was fucking great sitting back with you and talking a bit of shit and hearing about what you've done and how you've got to where you're going. And definitely keen to check out a bit of the stuff on the channel that you're
doing. Yeah, have a look. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like we said, there's something for everyone on there. And it was... thanks for having me on. It was awesome to meet you.
It's mate, I appreciate it. Yeah. It's been
like,
good.
The for way sure. me and all my mates talk about you is it's almost like you're our mates because you listen to you so much.
Yeah.
You hear what the boys got up to or something. So it's pretty cool to like actually meet you. So.
Ah, for sure, mate. 100%. We've got a few guest questions here, bro, that we normally run through with everyone that we'll get through. So have you ever been arrested?
Nah. I come pretty close once. Back in the younger P-plate days, we used to go and run amok in our cars and... We used to go into this housing state that was getting built and sort of rally along the roads, and that roads got bitumen one.
Oh, yeah.
And we were doing skids one day. We had like, you know, had the Vitara. Didn't have much go, so I had it in low range with the hubs out, a bit of oil on the road, doing some skids. And then these coppers are sitting on the hill watching us for ages. We thought it was our mates just rocked up with their parkas on, and then obviously got some good footage of us, and then cruised down. And ripped all our keys out of the ignition, right out of the car, boys, and they were blowing up. And we're like, oh, shit. And the old mate... Sort of, there was a good cop and a bad cop. There was four cops there, and there was a good cop and bad cop in each. And I got the bad cop.
Oh,
and I had two mates in my car. And he was like, "You mate, your car's going home in a tow truck. You're getting arrested for, you know, you're trespassing to start to come in here." And he's blowing up. And I was like, oh. And he walked back to his car, and I said to the boys, I'm like, "Righto, mate, we're going to have to pull out the stops here. So don't judge me. This one, I'm going to go for the fake cry. We're going to see if we can sort out here." So he come back, and he got me out of the car, and he was going to throw the book at me, and he was adamant, "Mate, we're taking you home in a cop car. Oh, you're going to lock up, and your parents have to get you fucked around." I was like, "Mate," tried to get the fake cry going. I was like, "Mate, I don't normally do this. I got a four-wheel drive, I'm just here," because all my mates had like skid cars and Commodores and shit, and I'm like, "I'm just trying to, you know, if you didn't have a bit of fun, you know, normally I don't do this. I need me bloody, you know, me license for me job and rah, rah."
Yeah,
and then end up getting out of it, eh?
Oh, true.
So I got a... Talked
your way out of it.
Yeah, got a defect for, I think it was like bald tires because I've been in skids.
Yeah,
but,
nice.
So, yeah. So nearly, but I got out of it.
Well, good work. That's good, mate.
Yeah. I copped a lot of shit for the old fake cry for a while, but I was like, mate, get me license.
Better than a fucking fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or whatever,
Bloody oh.
Mate, what was your first job?
So it was mowing lawns. My neighbour, who ended up being me who a bloke I did my apprenticeship with, he bought this big zero-turn mower, and he was a little bit crook at the time, and he's like, "Oh, you want to mow me lawn?" I'm like, "Yeah, sweet." And then I used to mow like a couple other people's lawns, just go there with a push mower or like use their mower, and he's like, "Oh, if you want to use my big mower, you can use it. Just, you know," he's like, "just buy me a six-pack like every week." And I'm like, "Oh, sweet." Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I used to use Jono's mower and like the bit of neighborhood mowing type thing.
Yeah, good
and,
shit.
And, then I started working for him in the holidays and obviously did my apprenticeship with him. So
Yeah, nice. What age was that, mate, when you started doing the lawns and shit?
Oh, like probably year seven. Like I did a fair bit of mowing, type thing.
Would have been good for you, mate, like tinkering with the old boy in the shed and that.
Yeah, that was sick.
Even getting to the stage you're at now, like being out there driving your cars and that, I think like you'd know, having that knowledge like you'd have of how to fix shit or what to bring with you for the common problems and shit like that. Yeah. That how you grew up probably would have helped you a lot with what you're doing now, eh?
And the cool thing is when I did that first build of the Vitara for me, it was like full chassis up.
Yeah.
And the car I'm doing now for work, I did that full chassis up. So I stripped it down to bare chassis, welded a heap of shit on, raced some stuff up, and it's nearly going now. And I only sort of realized the other day when we seen some photos in the shed when we're packing up, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty much doing the same thing now, but by myself, because I've just, what he taught me and all the self-taught stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yep. No, so, good shit, brother.
Yeah.
You can invite three people to dinner, dead or alive. Who are they and why?
Oh, I was trying to think about this all day. Like, I'm a pretty simple bloke. Like, people talk about movies or songs and stuff, and I'm like, I just know them from the radio or watching them with the music. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, that many famous people. But I was pretty, like, I was thinking I'd invite Jono, my old neighbour and my old boss. He's not with us any longer.
Yep.
And I'd invite my old man because, like, I know he really misses him.
Yep.
And I'd probably take my daughter along because I love her to meet Jono, and being away for work a bit, you don't always get to have dinner with her.
Mate, yeah, that's so fucking, that's unreal.
It's not like, you know, heaps of famous people, but I thought that'd be sick.
Yeah. It's just some of those things that you just, you stop and think about a situation, and it'd be cool to bring those few people that are special to you together, you know?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
No, that's awesome, mate. What's the best piece of advice you have been given, you reckon?
It was something Cam actually said before. There's no right time. Me old boss always used to say that. And, there's no right time. And I reckon it's pretty true, like, you just got to make shit happen when it's right for you. Or don't like base a timeline off what people say or like judge what you want to do with other people. Just the time's never going to be right. Don't make excuses. Just get it done.
You're always going to be able to find a reason why it's not.
Yeah.
Aren't you? No matter what. There's always going to be, oh, it doesn't work because of this or this or this.
And it's not dropping everything. It's just starting it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's right. And I think people think starting it, like we said before,
is dropping everything.
But it's just about, you might be busy as fuck and have no spare time and you're working for nothing for like ages towards it, but you can start.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's a beauty, mate. Mm. And at the end, mate, what's on top of your bucket list? Might be to do with work or just life in general, but I'd love to
do a lap with the family in a few years.
Yeah, nice.
Sort of get to the house to a stage where I can rent it out. And I don't think I could do it, like travel full time like people do, because I like to have a shed and tinker or just like, you know,
bit of a home base.
Yeah, go and do some hard wheeling with your mates or something. You wouldn't do that in a lap. But I'd love to do, a lap, whether it's a year, year and a half, 2 years or whatever, just to the family and travel around. I reckon that'd be sick.
Yeah. Awesome, mate. Mm. Well, mate, once again, thanks for coming on for a chat. It's been awesome hearing about your life so far, mate, and what you're getting up to. And obviously everyone knows the channel. They can go and watch what you're doing in the next sort of
And thanks for having me on. I probably spilled a bit of bullshit, but
fit right in. It was fucking good.
You might have three blokes on your couch tonight, the way we're going.
You test out those rooftop tents in the backyard.
Yeah, that's right. A bit of context to that. Fucking Airbnb fell through for us in the GC, so here we are at Mo's Desert Clubhouse. We might be sleeping on the fucking couch.
We're not sleeping at all.
Yeah, like what you said, I reckon if you boys put a post up, lots of boys would have you out for an all-nighter.
Yeah, I reckon too, mate, but I'd need a locked room at their fucking house if we go.
That's right.
But anyway, mate, thanks heaps. It's been great to meet you, and fucking everyone out there, stay out of each other.
Cheers, boys.
Catch up soon.
Good shit.
Call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, but our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the code ALPHABLOKES for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town.
Every man knows how scary it can get when you're going for the close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower Pro 3.0 Plus and the 4.0 Pro and the 5.0 Ultra.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.